Hello, Lifebook members. It's Jordan River here. You know, maybe the number one requested topic that we get in the Lifebook community is clearing limiting beliefs. And that's why I've decided to put together this series of programs with the help of dear friend of Lifebook, Dr. Lyon Goodman. He's a belief clearing specialist. You've heard him on my show before. And I figured it would be great to go through one category at a time and help you guys clear any limiting beliefs that you have. So Lyon went ahead and recorded this awesome program for us to listen to today. And I wanted to drop this in, not only to say thank you to the VIP community and to Lyon, but also to say, please share this with anybody and everybody. As opposed to the VIP podcast, I want this to be open to anyone who has limiting beliefs. Please share this with anyone that you think it could help. And without further ado, thank you for listening. Here is Lyon Goodman with his belief clearing for Health and Fitness Month.
Greetings, Lifebook members. This is Lyon Goodman, Lifebook's belief clearing specialist, here during Health and Fitness Month to talk about how your limiting and negative beliefs may be impacting your health, your body, and your ability to achieve your fitness goals. Let's do a quick review of belief basics, then we'll dive into this month's topic. If you've listened to my previous podcasts, you know that when I talk about beliefs, I'm not talking about an intellectual commitment to an idea like, I believe in freedom or I believe in God. I'm talking about the infrastructure of your consciousness, the deepest programming of your human operating system. Our brains are designed to be pattern detection and identification machines. We're born in a completely vulnerable state. We have to quickly learn how to navigate in the world and survive. And we do this by identifying patterns and associating them with danger or safety, approval or disapproval, friend or foe. Our infant brains are very active, looking around, figuring out what will get us what we need. A baby may discover the pattern, if I cry and make a fuss, I'll get cared for. Now, of course, this isn't in words, since an infant doesn't have language yet. We could call it an experiential conclusion, a pattern that helps ensure survival. Now, this is a really good belief for a baby. Over time, the child gets socialized, and once she has words, she's encouraged to say what she wants rather than crying and fussing. That new belief, I can say what I need to get cared for, overrides the old belief. But the old belief doesn't disappear. It just gets pushed down into the subconscious mind, ready to spring up if needed. And most of you know at least one adult who's still operating from that old belief, if I cry and make a fuss, I'll get cared for. Those are adults who still act like babies at times. Another important principle is how and why we take on the beliefs of our parents and caregivers. And this includes health and fitness beliefs, along with all the other topics we cover in Lifebook. Since babies are vulnerable and they could die if they're abandoned, there's a built-in instinct that says, if I become like my parents, they will like me. And therefore, those big people will be less likely to throw me out to the wolves. Now, we tend to like people who are like us. This is an ancient biological belief, and it drives us to copy our parents. We take on their mannerisms, their behaviors, their attitudes, and their beliefs. And for the first 4 or 6 years, we're recording everything and taking it in because it might be needed for survival. And from your parents' point of view, they want to give you their beliefs to help you survive. In their lifetime, they formed certain beliefs about themselves and about others and about life, and they survived, so they assume you need the same beliefs in order to optimize your survival. This is the root of indoctrination. They're putting their doctrines, their beliefs, into you. Now, sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Like, for example, why would my father hit me and hurt me when I made a mistake? Well, he got treated like that by his father, and he survived, so it must be required. So he's giving you what he got because he loves you. Now, this can feel really warped, especially if he says, I'm spanking you for your own good, and you'll thank me for it someday. That doesn't make any sense to a child, but it makes sense to the belief system, which is open to any programming. Now, you know that children learn to speak any language their parents speak, and they learn to behave any way their parents behave, and they learn to believe whatever their parents believe. We call it learning, development, and socialization. The problem is you don't live in the same time or environment that your parents grew up in. And your needs as an individual are likely to be quite different than your parents. But your brain doesn't know that, and most parents don't know that, so you're stuck with whatever your parents gave you. That's why we're filled with beliefs that limit us or harm us or hold us back from living our life fully and joyfully. The good news is you're not stuck with those old negative and limiting beliefs. You can delete them from your operating system. You can get an upgrade. Now, if someone handed you a computer and they said, hey, here's a gift. By the way, the operating system's about 20 years old. You wouldn't take it, or you'd take it and use it as a doorstop. But here you are in the Lifebook program, working on improving every aspect of your life, but you're using an operating system that's 20 or 30 or 40 or more years old. So let's get that operating system updated so it serves your life now instead of the one that served your life when you were a child. We're about to do an exercise in remembering, so get out a pad of paper and pen or open a new document on your computer or phone so you can take some notes. I'm going to stimulate your memories of childhood, and what we'll be looking for are any beliefs that you formed or conclusions you came to or ideas that were indoctrinated into you by others. When you remember something like that, anything like that, write it down as a belief. For example, if someone commented on your body and you felt shame, you'll write it down as a belief or conclusion you came to. For example, my body is embarrassing, or I'm too skinny, or I shouldn't eat so much or I'll get fat. Make the statements as simple as possible and write them down as you would have said them at the time. How would a child say it? That's the best way to document your early beliefs. As soon as you write one down, close your eyes again and remember more incidents from childhood. And write down the next belief, and the next one, and so on. Keep writing. The more you can write down, the better. The first step in any improvement program is awareness. When you become aware of the deep programs in your subconscious mind, you can then delete them if they're not serving you anymore, or if they're interfering with your life now, preventing you from achieving your Lifebook goals. Deleting them is step two. So I'd like you to remember back to your childhood as far back as you can remember, and close your eyes if you wish, and remember what your family's attitude was toward health, fitness, and the body. I'll give you a quick example from my life. My dad was a shopkeeper. He worked hard every day, and he sometimes worked after dinner as well. So I learned that work comes first, and it's the most important thing, more important than I was, more important than we were. He came home from work around dinner time, and my mom would put dinner on the table, and I learned that dinner was family time. But then TV crept into our house, and we started watching TV during dinner. So I learned that TV, other people's lives, other people's families, were more important than our family and our life. Now, I never saw my dad do anything that could be called exercise or fitness. He didn't do any sports. He wasn't athletic. He never threw a ball to me, and he never taught me to catch or hit a ball, so I was clueless and clumsy in all my school activities. And my mom did exercises with Jack LaLanne on TV, and later she did yoga with Lilius on TV, which I thought was totally weird and hysterical at the time. But of course, later in life, I practiced yoga and I got into yoga philosophy. Now, my dad's idea of exercise was watching football or car races on television. So I thought exercise was an observer sport, something you watched, not something you participated in. It took a long time for me to reprogram those beliefs. Now let's focus on you. Let your mind drift back to your childhood and get an impression of what health and fitness meant in your family. Who, if anyone, did you see exercise to stay fit and healthy? Was it a way to have fun, or was it something you had to do? Or was it something that other people did, but not your family? And since you're listening to a recording, feel free to stop the recording at any time and continue to write down your beliefs and then turn the recording back on when you're ready to go to the next phase. What kinds of food were served to you as a child? Did you get Wonder Bread and Skippy's peanut butter? Or did you get home-cooked meals? Did you eat frozen or canned foods? Or fresh vegetables from a garden? Did that change over time as you grew up? What was a treat or a special meal that you got every once in a while? Was it McDonald's hamburgers or pizza, ice cream, pie? Did you have to finish eating everything on your plate in order to get dessert? And again, as your memories come up, write them down as beliefs. This is what was true for me as a child. How active were you as a child? What sports did you play? How much time did you spend outdoors? And how much time did you play indoors? Did you play video games or computer games? Or card games? Board games? Were you a reader? Was reading your passion? Did your family go on vacations? Where did you go and what did you do? And what did you learn from those vacations? Did you have gym classes in school? What did they have you do in those classes? And how comfortable were you doing those activities? Did you do after-school sports? What did you learn about practice? What did you learn about being part of a team and about winning and losing? What did you come to believe about your body as a child? Did you receive compliments or negative comments? Were you called a name like skinny or chubby, or were you called pretty, cute, perky? You formed your beliefs about your body from other people and how they saw you. Did you compare your body to models in magazines or to other kids? Did your parents comment on your eating, telling you that you'd get fat or that you didn't eat enough and you were too skinny? If you're a female, when you reached puberty and your body began to change and your breasts began to develop, or hair grew in new places, or you began to menstruate, how did you feel about this new body of yours? Were you proud of it? Embarrassed by it? How did other people treat you as this was happening? And what comments did others make about your body? If you're a male, did other boys make fun of your size or shape or your athletic ability? Were you ever embarrassed in the showers after gym class? Did you compare your body to others' bodies? And how did you judge yourself? And keep writing down beliefs all along the way, and feel free to stop the recording in order to record more of your beliefs on paper. What did your religion teach you about your body? Were you told that your body was something to be ashamed of? Or told that it was dangerous or a curse? Were you told that you had to be very careful with it? Or was it celebrated as a gift from God? Was there someone in your family who was sick a lot? And what did you observe about how they were treated? How were you treated when you were sick? And if someone died in your family, how was that handled? What did you learn about death? That it was normal and natural, or something horrible? Was illness or injuries just a problem to be solved? Or was it something terrible and awful, maybe even punishment? Or was it just part of life? Keep exploring your memories for another minute or two, and write down any insights you've gotten about what you learned or what you came to believe about your body, about health, illness, exercise, and fitness. And keep writing down new beliefs as they come to you. By the way, if your parents are still alive and you can have a conversation with them, find out what they remember about you as a child, and find out what they believed about health and fitness when you were growing up. Also, think about what you learned by observing them and observing other people. Children pick up everything around them. What beliefs or ideas did you pick up from other family members, from your friends, from your teachers, from your coaches? Take another minute and write down any other beliefs you came to about body health and fitness from your interaction with people outside your family. Great. Now look over your list and pick the one belief that has caused you the most stress or discomfort or pain or shame. There might be a lot of them, and that's fine, but for now, pick one that floats up to the top of the list. And now we're going to do an exercise that involves saying the belief and feeling it. So take this belief and say it to yourself out loud and feel as if it's 100% true, and feel what it feels like to hold that belief. Really feel it in your body. Even if you don't believe it anymore, act as if it is true and then feel what it feels like. Notice where this belief appears in your body sensations. What do the sensations feel like? And notice the sensation has dimension. It has size and shape in some dimension. And just notice its size and shape. And if you wish, write it down. It might even be outside your body. That's fine. However it appears to you, however it feels to you, notice its size and shape. And now notice its weight. If you put this sensation on a weight scale, how much would it weigh? And now check to see if it had a color, what color would it be? Sensations are multidimensional and multisensory, and we can just observe them and find out what the answers are to these questions, even if the questions may not make any sense at the moment. And if this feeling, this sensation, was made of some material, what would it be made of? What's its texture? Is it light and airy, or is it dense and hard? Does it feel like wood or steel or hot molten lava? Just notice whatever your sensation feels like, and if you wish, write it down. And now notice the temperature of it. Is it warmer or cooler than the surrounding body area? And now look to see whether the sensation is moving in some way or vibrating, or is it still? Okay, good. Now put your attention on all of these qualities. Observe the sensation as a whole and say it to yourself. This is the belief blank, and then fill in the blank. For example, you might say, this is the belief my body is embarrassing, or this is the belief I'm ugly, or this is the belief I'm no good at sports. Whatever your belief is, say that to yourself while feeling the belief. Good. Now think about how this belief has affected your life throughout your life. Has it kept you hidden in some way? Has it held you back from certain activities? Has it caused you to eat certain foods or avoid certain foods? How has this belief affected your relationships with other people? How has it affected your intimate relationships? Has it interfered with your own parenting of your own children? Has it put a lot of your attention on yourself or on your body or on other people's opinions? Or has it made you ignore your body or your health in some way? Whatever way it's impacted you, just notice it and feel the impact on your life. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to split your attention. Keep about 20% of your attention on your body and this belief and how it feels and how it's affected you. With the other 80% of your attention, I'd like you to remember the part of you that is wise and healthy and loving. The best parts of you as an adult, your virtuous self. And as this wise, healthy, loving adult self, imagine that you come across yourself as a child who's hurt or lonely or feels bad about themselves, or is holding a hurtful belief about himself or herself. Now imagine that you, as the wise adult, are walking into a room or a place where that child is sitting or standing or crying or feeling terrible because of this belief. And as a wise, loving adult, what's your instinct? What would you do? You'd probably sit down next to the sad child and put your arm around them and give them your wisdom and your love. So go ahead and do that. Sit next to the child. You may want to invite them onto your lap so you can hold them tight. And when you sense that that child is ready to hear you, say some of the following phrases. Feel free to modify them so they sound right to you. I'm going to give you some suggestions. And use what works for you and use what would work for this beautiful child in your arms. I'll say each phrase, and then you can say it to the child. I'm here with you, dear one, and I'm not going away. I know what you believe about yourself, and I know you feel bad about yourself. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to feel whatever you feel. All feelings are okay. Anyone would feel this way if they believed that about themselves. Can you see that your belief is what's making you feel this way? I know you, I can see you, and I can see that this belief isn't really true about you. It's just a belief, and beliefs aren't true. Now, if you could see through my eyes, can you see that this belief isn't really true about you? Yeah, it might be true a little bit, or some of the time, or in some circumstances, but it's not who you are. Can you see that? What's true about you is that you are a beautiful child of God. You're perfectly okay just the way you are. And you're growing, and you're changing, and that's perfect too. That's what's supposed to happen. Can you see that about yourself? Now, by this time, your child is probably feeling differently. So check in, tune into the child, and either ask how they're feeling or just feel how they're feeling. Now say, did you know that you can change your beliefs anytime you want to? I'll show you how. Take that old belief and throw it in a garbage can. Tell me when you've done that. Great, doesn't that feel good? You don't need that old thing anymore. Now you can make up a wonderful belief about yourself. What would you like to believe about yourself? What belief would make you feel wonderful? And if the child has chosen a belief, use that one for this next step. And if they don't know what belief to choose, give them this one. I am a beautiful and sacred child of God, perfect just the way I am. And now say to this beautiful child, okay, take that belief and plant it inside you like a beautiful seed. And let it grow into something beautiful inside of you, like a flower or a light. And feel what it feels like to have that beautiful belief inside of you. This is who you really are. Do you like that feeling better than the way you felt before? Of course you do. Okay, now ask the child, would you like to now go out and play with this beautiful new belief inside of you? If the answer is yes, give them a hug and let them go play. And if the answer is no, ask the child what they would prefer to do. Would they want to go for a walk with you or go to sleep? Whatever they want, allow them to guide you into the next activity. And when that's done, kiss and hug them goodbye and tell them that you'll come visit again. And that they can call on you whenever they feel bad, and you'll help them again at that time. Good. Now feel your body sitting in your chair or lying down in your room. And feel the child at play or wherever they are. And reach out gently and bring the child and the scene wherever they are and bring it into your heart so that your child is always within your heart. Feeling your love for them. You may want to put your hands over your heart and feel your child there, happy with their new belief. Now there's one last step. I'd like you to think of a situation that would normally cause you to feel that old way, embarrassed or ashamed or lonely or sad, however that child was feeling before you arrived. Think of a circumstance today that would trigger that wound. Maybe someone commenting on your body, or staring at you, or maybe standing up in front of an audience getting ready to share your wisdom. Something that would have been really triggering in the past. And imagine yourself there, and feel the child inside you who's now happy and playing. And check to see whether that situation has triggered that old feeling, or whether that feeling and sensation are just gone, nowhere to be found. Now, if you are about to enter a situation like that, such as seeing your parents, which is usually very triggering, or going to the gym, just tune into your happy child, and you'll find that your response to that situation is much different than it was before. Okay, let all that go. And take a minute to integrate all these experiences. And when you're ready, open your eyes if they're not already open, and look around the room. Welcome back, and thank you for going on that journey with me. You can listen to this recording again and bring another belief that you wrote down into the process, and you can do it as often as you'd like, with as many beliefs as you'd like. This process is one small part of the Clear Beliefs Method, which I teach to coaches and healers and therapists around the world. This work inside our imagination can be very powerful, and many different things can come up, some of them quite surprising and wonderful, and sometimes uncomfortable or painful. If you'd like help or support in deleting those old beliefs, the ones that you feel defeated by, check out my website, clearyourbeliefs.com. And you'll find information about our Clear Beliefs coaching process, and you can choose from many different coaches around the world who've been trained in this method. And if you're interested in learning these methods of deep inner transformation, visit my training page, clearbeliefs.com. The first one was clearyourbeliefs.com, this one's clearbeliefs.com. You can also find out more about me and read my articles at liongoodman.com. That's L-I-O-N. goodman.com. It is a great privilege and an honor to be with you today here on the Lifebook Membership Program. I'll be back next month with another tour through your beliefs and another process to clear them. Until then, keep working with your life book and keep clearing the beliefs that come up in the process, the ones that interfere with your forward movement. I'm here along with my team to support you on this marvelous journey. Take care of yourself and take good care of that beautiful child inside your heart.